Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. You know, you need to understand this. That we've not understood the role that the presence of the Lord plays in the things in our life, the wholeness in our physical body. You know, Jesus made the statement to the Pharisees, we talked about it last couple of weeks, he says, you have the word and you cling to that word because you think in that word you have eternal life, but that word leads to me. But you're not willing to come to me. And I'm not saying that's where we're at. I'm just saying so many times we forget that behind print there's a person. And he put his presence in you. If you're a new creation, you made a declaration in your life that Jesus is Lord. He put himself in you. And he put himself in you not just so we could memorize scriptures or adhere to a certain belief system. Because any religion can do that. They don't even need the presence of the Lord. But he put himself in you because he wanted to make himself real to you. You have the presence of God on the inside of you, and everywhere you are, you have the ability to release the presence of the Lord into that environment. It's not just something we do here on Sunday mornings. Folks, it's the way it is here on Sunday mornings because we ought to be practicing every day of the week. When things are going real bad, instead of locking yourself in the prison of your mind, why don't you just crack that vessel open and start to worship Him? You know, if you sing bad, put on some tape and let them sing. Put on some CD and let them sing. Put on an MP3 and let them sing. But you just entered in. I'm telling you, folks, that there are seasons in our life, and I heard somebody say this one time. He had just lost his dad. And his dad was like a pioneer in the faith, and he made this statement. He said, in our church, our assignment is to eradicate cancer. He said, and here my dad is. He gets seized by the very disease that our assignment is to eradicate. And so I'm standing around his bed. He's gone on to be with the Lord, and all the family, my brother and my mother and all my family members around the bed. He said, and I had a decision to make. I could either walk in confusion, or I could understand what Paul said. Let's go over there. I'll go over to 1 Corinthians. He goes on to talk about that all things are His, that all things are yours, that life and death, things future, and the things present. The present things belong to you. And so he made this statement. He said, "Yeah, I can make a choice here. I can either give into confusion, or I can understand what Paul said, that I have authority over everything that's present. And not allow anything to steal my destiny and steal my future." And so, a lot of times, when things are not going so well, We need to understand that you have authority over the present. And it's your choice whether you're going to let something steal your present and into your future, or you're going to take authority over it. And if nothing else, you crack that earthen vessel and you begin to worship Him and praise Him. Because He made this statement. He says, you know, the praise and the worship that I give Him in this situation, I'll never be able to do that in heaven. Because I won't have that environment. So this is really a true sacrifice of worship for me. And folks, there are situations in your life when you just have to understand that the season that you're in and the place that you're in right at that very moment, you either have the choice to give into confusion or you can take authority over your present. Those things that are present have been given to you to have authority over, and you can begin to worship Him and give Him an offering of praise and worship that, believe me, has a fragrance to Him that you'll never be able to do again. There'll never be a situation in heaven when you're worshiping Him with all the things you're surrounded with and all the, you know, all the things that you can imagine that are there in His presence. It'll never even be close to the offering of worship that you give Him in a situation that you're in the middle of. Because that takes a choice. And it takes a choice to take authority over your present. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Because you have the ability to release the presence of God that He put in you, out of you, any moment of your life. If your body is not responding correctly, you just begin to worship and saturate your body with the presence of God. Let it out. Or you can lock up in your own head and, you know, you get what you get. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather just let the presence of God out and begin to worship Him and enjoy His presence. Because He is a real person, right? He's not just a concept. It's not just a theory. Can you imagine what will happen in the earth when these people finally realize that He's not just a concept to believe in, but He's actually a real person? And they know how to release His presence anytime, any place, anywhere that they are. You know, we kind of practice here on Sundays, but you really, honestly, you can practice Monday through Saturday and just bring what you know here. You know, you get into one accord. But it's because you've already been doing it. It's just the way you are. It's just the way the family is. Amen? Amen. I feel like we already had church. I'm just going to make it short because, you know, I think we've done what we needed to do today. But let me just show you this. Go to John chapter 15. We've been talking about living life in the vine. And what you're going to find, the more you read these verses, and quite honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you, you know, if you have the opportunity to go into the Greek New Testament, it's going to open up a bunch of stuff for you. Because what you're going to find is, like we've said in previous weeks, that Jesus didn't talk about the environment with His Father is just something that He believed. It was actually an ongoing, continuous connection that He lived in. And, you know, what happens so many times with so many folks is the real world really is between your ears because you've chosen it to be that way. And I'm not saying you ignore those things. I'm just saying, understand, folks, there, the unseen arena, the kingdom of God is more real than what you're seeing. And, you know, if we could boil it down, if we could just unreligiousize it for a minute, Jesus did what He did to restore the dominion of His kingdom and then reveal that kingdom and its order to His people so that they could walk it out here in the seen realm. Because every time they walked it out in the seen realm, it gave him the ability to bring it out of the unseen into the seen and replace what was seen with what was not seen, but has been there the whole time. We talk about revelation of Scripture. Revelation of Scripture is not you come across a new book of the Bible. Revelation of Scripture is he unveils something that's always been there that you didn't see before. And then our job, as he unveils those things that are already there, Paul said the things that are not seen are eternal. They've always been. The things that are seen is what's temporary. We give so much credence to what's seen. We allow what's seen to dictate our emotions. We allow what's seen to dictate our feelings and our thought processes, when the reality is that's temporary. What's real and what's permanent is what's not seen. Our job as new creations, he put himself in us on purpose so they would give us the bridge to get insight into and perceptions of what he sees. Do you remember the story of Jesus in John 4? I told you to go to John 15. Go to John 4. You're already in John. Just go back a few. Because this gospel, it really is not complicated, and it's really not, if you unreligiousize everything, peel off all the layers of all the man's thought process that's been layered onto this thing. Jesus did what he did to restore man back to the right hand of the throne where he was created to function. That denotes a level of authority and a level of insight and perception that natural man just doesn't have. He never designed for the new creation man to live in the same perspectives and the same conclusions that the new creation man was supposed to have. Excuse me, never intended for them to live in the same conclusions and perceptions as natural man. Because natural man, you can just listen to the words, natural man's flying blind. Whether you realize it or not, you know, you look at the situation with Adam in the garden, and it says that Adam walked with Jesus, or walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. I do believe it was a second member of the Godhead because it called him the Lord God. And Father is a spirit. Jesus, or the second member of the Godhead, we call him Jesus in the New Testament because now he has flesh and bone. But prior to that, he was a second member of the Godhead, and he was the one responsible for manifesting Father. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. How do you think Adam saw him? You know, we always spiritualize this stuff, and we always, well, he was just a feeling, and he just kind of knew he was there. No, Adam saw into the unseen. You say, how do you know that? Because when that avenue was shut off, and the same scenario happened, and the Lord began, you know, after he made the decision to submit to what the devil has been speaking to, because he had the ability to stop it and he didn't. And he submitted to it, and he put himself up underneath a new order. That veil closed. And all of a sudden now he picks up on things, but he can't see anything. And it scared him. If you go back and read that account, it says he was in fear. Do you remember the story of Elisha and Gehazi? And the Syrian army was upon them. And Gehazi's freaking out. And Elisha said, just go outside and check out on the horizon on the mountains. Check out. There's more with us than there is with them. And he went out there, and Elijah asked the Lord, open his eyes. And so Gehazi saw into the unseen. You know, we read these stories and we think, oh, they're just nice little stories, or they're, you know, parabolic, or they're, you know, they're symbolic and all. But, you know, that's just religion, John, to talk you out of your heritage. Because as a new creation, you were designed to know what was going on and to see things from Father's perspective and function accordingly in your life. Over here in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He just got done ministering to a woman at the well there. And, of course, the operation of the word of knowledge opened the whole thing up for him. He spoke to her have an insight into what's going on in her life by the Spirit of God, and said, go get your husband. She says, I don't have one. She says, he said, you're right, you don't have one, you've had four. And the disciples show up after the fact. And he makes this statement. He says, verse 31 in chapter 4, says, meanwhile the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one's brought him anything to eat, did he? Can you imagine Jesus walking as a new creation man, having to put up with the density of the old model that was completely clueless about things that Jesus said, and he had to explain it to him. And so he says, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And he says, do not say in verse 35, do you not say as a natural man, as the old model, don't you say that there's 4 months yet and then comes the harvest? But he says, now listen to what he says. He's speaking as an example of the new model. He says, but the new model says this. He says, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Now, he's not saying to look from the ground horizontally. He's saying, see things from my Father's perspective. Now look down on the field. The field is white. Why is the field white? Because if you're seeing things from Father's perspective, you're also understanding that you're not supposed to be functioning outside of the presence of Father in any situation that you're in. And any introduction of the presence of the Father through you in an environment will change things. So we ought not get comfortable just walking out of our own heads. You know, last week we talked about the issue of, you know, is it possible to live a life that is without stumble and without sin? Most of your religious folks will say, absolutely not. The only reason they say that is not because of them, it's because the system told them that's not possible. But I want you to see something. How many know Jesus, if he didn't equip us, he wouldn't have any right to expect something of us? Right? I mean, what kind of dad would that be? You know, ask you, make demands on you and then not give you the equipment to do it? That sounds like the Egyptians to me. Go over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. See, you know, we talk about living connected, and my prayer is this, is I don't want to talk about this so much that you guys just like, you over-spiritualize it and then you just blow it off. Because, unfortunately, the system that we've called Christianity doesn't talk about the fact that you have the ability to live connected. That the real you is your spirit and you ought to be training yourself. Hebrews chapter 5 says, by reason of use, by reason of a habit, you train your senses, not your physical senses. Do you know your spirit has senses? Your five physical senses that your physical body has, they're all rooted into your spirit. And your spirit has exactly the same senses. Everything's rooted. See, a man is not a mind, a man is a spirit. So all of your senses are tied into your spirit. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, just like with Jesus, he had to learn through obedience. He submitted to what he was hearing all the time. He submitted to what the impressions were that were coming from the Father all the time. And because he made that his habit, in the midst of situations around him, he learned to make that a habit. And then you read on down, you know, a few verses, and he says, and, you know, we're supposed to do the same thing. By reason of a habit, we train our senses to discern good and evil. So in John 14 here, look at verse 30. How many know Jesus is a model of the new creation man when he came into the earth? Right? Because the Bible says when he came into the earth, he emptied himself. That's Philippians. He emptied of himself of being God. So we can't use the cop-out where Jesus did what he did because he was God. No. Philippians says, Paul says, by the revelation of the Spirit of God, that when Jesus came into the earth as a man, flesh, blood, bone, he came in as a man under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he laid aside all of his abilities as God. And he learned how to walk and demonstrate what this new creation man was created to look like, sound like, and operate. And so when Jesus makes statements, we have to understand that he's making those not as God, he's making those as an example or the model, the new model. Okay, so John chapter 14, look what he says here. He says, verse 29, or verse 28, I love that verse, go there. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. No, that's not what the Greek New Testament says. It's in the present tense, which means it's an ongoing, constant condition. I will be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. That's not just a theology we believe in, folks. That's an ongoing connection. You remember when I talked about Jesus in the beginning of the book of John? It says that the angels ascended and descended upon the Son of Man. Remember that verse? That was an example of what is now. The kingdom is not closed. We don't need to open up the kingdom, you know, open up the doors. The kingdom is already open. Jesus opened it, and it's permanently open. And just like Jesus is saying here, he's saying, look, I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. And we're going to hang out. And he goes on to say, he says in verse 29, he says, now I told you before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe. Verse 30, I will not speak much more with you, because he's getting ready to go to the cross. And he says, the ruler of this world is coming, but notice what he says. What's the next thing he says? He's got nothing in me. Now before you relegate that, well, that's because Jesus was born of a virgin and, you know, he was the Son of God, and he's not speaking from that place. He says, the enemy has nothing in me. Notice why the enemy had nothing in him. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, or that I'm constantly on an ongoing basis loving the Father, I do exactly what the Father's commanding me. In other words, why did the enemy have nothing in him? The enemy had nothing in him because he just set himself to live connected. I wonder if that's possible with you. You think it is? Well, let's go over to Galatians real quick. Again, none of these verses are ones you haven't seen before, but, you know, if we've got a system that's trained and trained and trained and trained, that you're going to screw up, you're going to fail, and you might as well just accept it because you'll never be free from it. That's like that story I told you about that prisoner who gets let out of his prison cell. He gets taken through all the series of gates that are inside the prison, but as soon as he gets to the outside door that leads to total freedom, a guard steps in front of him and says, I'm sorry, you can't go out there. That's the cruel joke that the system we call religion has played on people. And so it keeps you in this, it's like the guy ladies forgive me, this is a guy scenario, so. It's like the guy in, well I guess some ladies do this too, I suppose, but In those wrestling matches, tag team wrestling matches, and he's getting worked over by a guy, and all he's got to do is get from the inside of the ring over to the ropes, and at least get outside the ropes and hit his partner, and then his partner can come in and take over. But it's like what religion has done is it's taken a man who's fighting his way to the ropes to get out of the ring, and instead of when he tag teams the guy and to get out, the guy shoves him back into the middle of the ring. And that's literally the way that people have been trained by, even religious Christianity, that you never can get free. Folks, that's just a lie from the pit of hell. Because the new creation, man, Jesus modeled how to stay free. I just stay living connected. Over in Galatians. Look at chapter 5, verse 1, says it was for freedom. Do you think that's partial freedom or total freedom? So wouldn't be dominated by the nature of sin be part of that total freedom? Yes or no? Because, folks, listen, let's get real. If we don't really have the option to be totally free from that and the dominion of that nature working in our life and working us over, then the work that darkness played on Adam is more powerful than the work that Jesus did on the cross. And that's just not so. Do you understand that? So he says, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, stand firm and don't subject yourself again to slavery or natural man thinking or thinking out of your own head. If you notice here in Galatians, he says, in verse 13, you were called to freedom, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for your natural man, for through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, everybody say living in your own mind, Take care that you're not consumed by one another. So what's the option? Verse 16. Walk by the, some translations say big S. Really it's a little S. But as a new creation, is there really a difference? Where's the big S spirit? In your little S. Because as a new creation, that's why Jesus did what he did. He put himself in you. He said, walk by your spirit and don't, and you won't carry out the desires of the natural man. Now, doesn't that sound like exactly what Jesus said, that the enemy's got nothing in me? Why does he have nothing in me? Because I've made a decision to always be doing what Father's laid out. Because that's where I live. I live and move and have my being in my Father. If you've seen me, you've seen Father. So it's a choice, folks. We need to come to the place, and I'll just close right now. We need to come to the place where by reason of use, we practice keying in on what's going on in our spirit in every situation that we're in. You stay in the Word, train yourself to recognize what for you, what the impressions of the Spirit, how they are. And so that when you're out and about, you constantly, instead of going by what your eyes are seeing, what your ears are hearing, and what your mind's concocted, you constantly check in with your spirit to see what's going on. You know, you can live life, you know, always checking in. Because, folks, the reality is every time that we live out of our spirit because we've trained ourselves in the Word, and by reason of a habit, we've trained our spirit to pick up on what's going on, good and evil. Every time you make a choice to draw out of your spirit what the Spirit of God gives you an impression or what He says to you or whatever, you're bringing the kingdom that Jesus already established. It's a done deal. You're bringing it in. You're giving Him the opportunity to bring the result of that establishment into the natural arena and affect things. Isn't it interesting that people, and I am quitting. In fact, go ahead and stand up. That way you know I am. Isn't it interesting that the general mindset of the church is, oh God, send revival. Now think about the ridiculousness of this. And how it screams, people have been raised to live disconnected. They're praying, oh God, send revival, oh God, send revival, oh God, send revival, oh God, send revival. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. See, that tells you that the majority of Christians in the world, they've been trained to live out of their mind. Because their mind and their eyes and their ears are being told that revival's not here. But Jesus says, look up and then look down. And you'll see that the harvest is already white. The establishment of the kingdom is already a done deal. See things from Father's perspective. Say things from His perspective. Have His perception about things. Because the same people that are saying, go God, send revival, don't realize that their job is to key into what's going on in their spirit and bring it out. When you bring it out, what happens? Anybody know? Revival. Shazam, Spanky, I think they got it. We can kick up and stir up revival anytime we have a desire because we just listen to what's going on in here. Because we've made a choice to stop living in our heads, living in our emotions, and start living out of our spirit. I'll get into some other things next week and I'm going to get into a series here eventually about what does it look like? Because John 16 tells us the three ways that the Spirit of God leads us. Two of the three are not verbal. So we're going to get into that and we're going to go in through the Gospels and show you examples of how those were demonstrated through Jesus. Because I honestly believe this, folks. It's not that we don't hear the voice of God. It's that we're looking for the voice of God. He leads you and directs you and guides you a whole lot more than you think or you recognize. And once we come to the place where we begin to recognize how He leads, directs, and guides you as an individual, because there are some foundational principles of how He does it in the Word, and then for you as an individual, there could be little nuances of that. But the fact is, once you recognize those things, my gosh, and you start acting on those things, people will run to Jesus because you're actually bringing Jesus. Not your own head, not your own, well, I was trained this way, or this is what I believe. You just bring the person of Jesus and let Him do all the work. Amen? So that's kind of where we're going in the weeks to come. And I believe it's going to be real good. Because you know what? We're going someplace. It's like my wife said today, Pastor Shelby said, that we're going someplace. This is where we're going. Miracles and things that you heard about this morning, that's normal. We need to quit treating it like it's something, wow. That's normal. I'm not saying we shouldn't reverence it because it's awesome all the time. But that's normal. Signing ones are normal. Operation of the word of knowledge for somebody's normal. Gifts of healings, working in miracles, that's normal. It's all normal. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You and praise You. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit activity in our life. Thank You for where You're taking us as a people and as individuals. And I thank You that You stir up the gifts of the Spirit on the inside of everybody in this room. That You put a desire in them to study out the manifestation of Your gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and see how they work in Jesus' ministry when You were on the earth. And thank You for bringing us back to how You created us to be. And your word already says it, Lord. Your word declared that they're free. They're free from the dominion of the sin nature. They're free from the dominion of failure. They're free from the dominion of condemnation. And you've set us free into your marvelous life. And I would ask that you would cause that to well up on the inside of people, the people in this room. And then when they're spending time with you during the week, that your presence comes into the room in such a real, tangible way. Because Jesus, we just want to know you. I'm not satisfied to just settle for a concept of you. I want to know you as a person. And I thank you for that. And everybody agree with that prayer said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.